Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, Common Fans, get to Certified Piedmontese. That's cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, and get yourself 25% off anything they've got that's not already discounted listed on the site. You can get for 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN. They've got the best Nebraska-raised steaks, beef products, beef ribs, beef bacon, beef roasts, all the things. Best steaks you could possibly want. So go to cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN. Get yourself 25% off and enjoy some Nebraska beef. Also, yes, check out the boys are on board with that. The crew is on board with that. Also check out silliesco.com, S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com. Get yourself some Common Fan socks, and they've got all kinds of socks across the board. So use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR number 4, L-I-F-E. Matty O's holding up the Common Fan socks.
There they are.
Get yourself Common Fan socks, but you can get 25% off any sock on the site. They've got all kinds of fun stuff at silliesco.com when you use the promo code GBR for life. So check out silliesco.com as well. Finally, Common Fans, go to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for our free newsletter. Follow us on social media. Keep up with all of our episodes and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. Boys, good morning. We are recording this pretty early on Sunday morning before a Monday release. So we're all a little
Yeah.
That's why I sound like I'm in a cave or something.
Marvin Gaye.
You sound great.
Thank you.
Very deep, like a, I don't know what Marvin Gaye, maybe a Barry White.
Wow, that means
Teddy Pendergrass, maybe Teddy Pendergrass.
Thank you. It's coffee talk with the Common Fans.
There you go.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, spring ball is upon us, boys. Spring ball starts on March 26th. That is just around the corner. And, you know, Common Fans, if we've survived January and February, which are always the worst months of the year.
We did it, guys. We did it.
We did it.
We're out of that.
Spring ball to follow. And, you know, you get on the other side of spring ball and the season is not too far away.
Yeah.
And we're really cranking. Yeah. We're really cranking. So today we're going to look at three storylines headed into spring ball for Nebraska football. So there's a lot of intrigue for Matt Rhule around year three. And will the team take the year three leap? There's a totally restructured coaching staff, a lot of new faces on the coaching staff. Of course, the new norm in college football is not just a brand new recruiting class, but a new transfer portal class that's expected to contribute right away. So there's all kinds of stuff to talk about and look at and think about. And I was thinking about this too, guys. We always do these lists. We do three of this or four of this. And really, it's each of us with our own list. So it's actually 9 storylines headed into spring ball. It's an embarrassment of riches for the Common Fan
it
listener.
It really is. And
you're welcome, listener.
Yeah.
You're welcome, listener.
There's so much to discuss.
So much fun stuff. So we're going to get right to it. On the eve, on the doorstep of spring football for Nebraska football, we're going to look at a bunch of the storylines for this team as we head into year 3 of Matt Rhule, year 2 of Dylan Raiola, and year 1 of 3 new coordinators across the board. At least Dana Holgorsen is, we're still calling him new. And then, of course, John Butler on the defense and Mike Eckler with special teams. Matty O, you want to start us off with your first storyline to watch?
I don't know if our true common fans are every episode listeners might know that I love defense. I love defensive line
Yes.
specifically.
Yes, you do.
So I think there's a big question for a lot of us, what's the D line going to look like? Not only do we have some guys graduate that have been here forever, Nash and Ty Robinson, but we had some guys transfer too. Jamari Butler was a big time contributor. James Williams, Mr. Sackman. So we and Prince Wilhelm-Umiang, we can't forget about him. So there's a lot of movement, a lot of turnover on the defensive line. I think this is a big time year for Riley Van Poppel. It's time for RVP to shine. And I remember sometime during last season, and I don't remember who wrote this or who mentioned this, but some discussion of Riley Van Poppel and it kind of seemed like maybe he should be getting more playing time, but we have Nash and we had Ty Robinson, and it was kind of said like, hey, redshirt this year and then you're going to be Ty Robinson or something to that effect. And so I'm really looking forward to that because he's in spot playing time. He's made some big plays and been in on some goal line stands, and he looks like to be a high energy guy. So I'm kind of looking for RVP to kind of be the leader of that D line. So I hope that happens.
Love
And
it.
we get a guy, we heard a lot about Keanu Davis. I think it's time for him to kind of step up and shine. Elijah Judy's still around. He's certainly a serviceable D lineman. So it's going to be interesting with these portal guys, Gabe Moore and forget the other guy's name, George, Jalen George, I think. See
Jalen
if
George
those
and
guys can come in
Williams Wenary.
yes, and Williams Nwaneri, if
That's
they can come
good.
in, portal guys, now you need them to come in like right away and be an impact. So that'll be huge. So the D line is a huge one. The D line's been real consistent in the last couple of years. Some goal line stands, some big stops. So that'll be interesting to see what that D line looks like this fall. I think that's it's a big story.
Absolutely. And I think, Matteo, you hit the nail on the head with so many guys leaving, either transferring out or graduating. You're always looking for, I think, if you're bringing in a second or third or fourth year guy through the portal, I'd say you're always looking for that person to contribute right away, but it's going to be so important on the defensive line and in particular for most of those guys to hit because there is young, exciting young talent like Van Poppel, like Keanu Davis on the roster, but they need more than that, right? So
Need depth.
they're going to need these guys to hit. Sorry, GF, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, we talked about it all of last year, like we were delaying the inevitable of how much we were going to lose on that side of the ball, and it's a legit concern. So, especially since that was our strong suit last year, and a bright spot in the Nebraska program. You're right, Owens. We definitely got to see some people step up in that regard. So, definitely a storyline to keep an eye on.
We talked about it all last year. We tried to avoid thinking about it, and now the cold reality is slapping us in the
It
face.
really is. It really is.
That's
It's here. It's upon us. Oh,
right.
shit.
All right, Geoff, what's on your list?
I'm Hollywood, like I always say. So it's obvious. It's got to be Dylan, right? Like he's the prince that was promised. That's a Game of Thrones, TJ. I
Oh,
don't
the
know.
prince that was promised.
That's a Game of
Whoa.
Thrones reference.
I
I don't know if
like
you're aware of
that.
that or not.
I'm not. I'm not.
Okay, I didn't think so. I'm ready to see. I'm ready to see the guy that we've all been waiting for. You know what I mean? The five-star recruit, the person that in December of 2023 we were going nuts about in the offseason. So much hype around him. Yeah, he was a freshman last year in 2024, and he's got to take baby steps to kind of get used to things. But he's had his full year now. You know what I mean? Like we've let him kind of go through the progressions. He's got through his freshman probably. I don't want to say nervousness, but just kind of getting his feet wet. And we saw some of that. Like at the beginning of the season last year, he looked pretty damn good. And then there was a little bit of a regression. Probably most of that's going to probably be on Satterfield's shoulders, anyways. I feel like this year with a full season with Dana Holgorsen, I'm really interested to see what Dylan's capable of, not only just having a coach to work with that maybe he's going to have a little better play calling, but also just a little bit more confidence that he's seen it. He's been under the lights. He's played in front of, thousands of people now over a season. So I'm really curious to see what he's going to do this year. And specifically, like, that's how you're going to take your year three leap. You know what I mean? If you want Matt Rhule to succeed and do what he's supposed to do in year three, you're going to need Dylan to play his butt off this year. So I'm really excited to see what he can do and see what this five-star recruit is able to deliver to us in his sophomore year. So
yeah,
pretty pumped.
I great take, Jeff. I mean, it's got to happen, right? For Nebraska football to succeed, we need Dylan to be the guy that was advertised. What did you call it? The prince who's been promised?
Prince who's promised.
Prince Game who's, of Thrones. We need Dylan to be the prince who's promised.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough sledding if, you know, he's not a little bit better than he was last year. Maybe even a lot better.
Yeah.
So I think he can do that. He can be that.
Mm-hmm.
I think for Nebraska to take the much hyped and hoped for year three leap under Matt Rhule, Raiola has to take a leap of his own this year.
Yeah.
And I think, there, like you said, Matteo, I think there's reason to hope and believe that can happen, especially under Holgorsen's tutelage. But we've got to see it happen. I thought it was interesting. Rhule just talked to the media this last week, kind of a pre-spring ball press conference. And he said, you know, the offense is largely the same. Like the terminology is the same, and it's just more about sort of focusing the playbook and not, you know, and not getting too big brained, which is one of our phrases. Rhule didn't say big brained. But I do wonder, you have to assume Holgorsen has some wrinkles up his sleeve too. Right. And he's going to put his own imprint on the offense. But in any event, whatever that ends up looking like, the Midwest Coast offense, as friend of the program Nick Olson coined it,
under way to go, Nick. Olson,
you just hope that they're maximizing Dylan and putting him in the best possible position to succeed, because he's got it. And not to take anything, he had good numbers, 67% completion percentage as a true freshman, and it looks amazing at times, but then he looked like a freshman at times too,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
so you hope that
right,
they can fix that.
The TD to interception ratio left a lot to be desired. That's
like, the completion percentage, so good.
Very good. Yardage, yeah, pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. It's the TDs and interceptions that we got to get that little more of a spread there between those, the good and the bad.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, it started off good too, that touchdown to interception ratio, but man, somewhere around, like, that was at the Illinois game or somewhere around there, it just fell off hard.
Yeah.
Things just went in the wrong direction with him passing wise, and something just wasn't quite, something was off after that. So,
well, they stalled getting into Big Ten play.
Yeah.
And there was probably a lot of different factors that go into that, but you're in the best, arguably the best coached conference and best one or two, you know, top two conferences in college football. And so, you know, everybody plays D. Everybody's tough.
They play defense. Right.
Everybody coaches well, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. So, well, I mean, we're going to be talking about Dylan Raiola just ad nauseum.
To get ready for it.
Until he's no longer a Husker, probably.
Get ready for it. Deal with it.
Get ready for it. Exactly. All right. My first one. Oh, by the way, Steve Sipple had a great, just about this, just kind of about some of Rhule's recent comments and Raiola in particular as he prepares for year two. So any On Three subscribers out there, I'm sure you've seen it already, but check out Sipple's piece on that. That was pretty good. My first one's the offensive line. And what got me thinking about this was friend of the program, Jim in Minnesota, had a tweet just in the last couple of days, basically pointing out it's year four now. Remember, Donovan Raiola, offensive line coach, was there for the last year of Frost. He was hired as to be O-line coach in Frost last year. So it's really year four for Donovan Raiola. And Jim says, they've stockpiled a ton of good, highly rated talent and added in some million-dollar transfers. It's time to become a dominant offensive line. It just is. So I thought that was really interesting, because I feel like this is another thing we've talked about many times over the last several years, as Matty O appears to be having some technical difficulties.
What are you doing there?
We can't hear you, buddy. Can't hear you.
Sorry. Forgot to plug in the laptop. We don't need that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Battery dying on us.
No worries.
Mid-Jeff breakdown of the mesh concepts that Dana Holgorsen is going to be running.
It's, It's pretty early in the morning. I'll let it pass this. I'll let it slide this one.
Oh, I'm glad you'll let it slide,
I'll
Jeff.
let it slide.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm sorry. We were talking,
Anyway,
I mean, we're talking about something that I like to talk about. We're talking about the offensive line.
the
Sorry.
offensive line, I think what we've talked about is like in recent years, it's been good and probably improved from what we saw at times over the Frost years and the Riley years and all that, but it's not been great, right? It feels like we're still, when we go up against elite defenses, guys are still getting beat pretty badly. We're not, some of it is play calling, right? I think all Husker fans like want to see the Huskers really establish the run game and have a powerful offensive line. But if you're calling pass plays half the time, it's maybe hard to get, it's not all on the offensive line. So things have been better. I think pass protection in particular has really improved. The example we've always used on this show, though, is when it's third and two or fourth and one, and you need 1 or 2 yards, and you're lining up to go for it, and we know we're going to run, and the defense knows we're going to run, and everybody in the stadium knows we're going to run. You got to get it anyway, right? And I feel like that's something Nebraska football hasn't done consistently, really, in a long time. And so, and the other, I was just looking at the, I'm looking at the scholarship distribution chart for the offensive line. I mean, you've got, first of all, you got the two big name transfers, right? Rocco Spindler from Notre Dame and Elijah Pritchett from Alabama. So Spindler's an interior offensive lineman, Pritchett's a tackle. You assume those two guys are two of your five starters right there, which is significant.
I hope
Then
so.
you've got two factors of guys who have played a ton of football for Nebraska who are now seniors. They've also battled a ton of injuries, Turner Corcoran and Teddy Prochaska. So where do those guys fit in? What's their health situation? Are they starters? I don't know. But that's important depth at the very least. Then you've got Henry Litovsky, who started a ton of games. He's also a senior. He's probably one of your starting guards. You got Justin Evans, who can play center or guard. So with Evans, Litovsky, and Spindler, that might be your three interior offensive linemen right there. And then you have a ton, as Jim pointed out, you have a ton of young guys. Gunnar Gatula got a bunch of starts in the second half of the year last year. Grant Bricks was, I think he Grant Bricks, is he the one from Iowa? He's the one from Iowa. I think he was like the top offensive lineman out of Iowa. So you got a lot of these young guys. They really have in the last, in Rule's first three classes, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 offensive linemen
Holy
three
smokes.
classes, right?
Damn.
So especially those guys who've now been here 2 and 3 years. Geez, give me of the we're fairly top heavy now. We have a bunch of upperclassmen who have played a lot of football. Give me two to four of those younger guys who can also contribute, and suddenly you've got a two deep that that can really play. So I thought Jim's perspective was really interesting. That basically that's a really good point. Like Raiola, there's been with so much inconsistency at different positions with coordinators, with head coaches even. Donovan Raiola has been here for 4 years as the offensive line coach. Rule says the system isn't changing, the terminology is not changing, that maybe some tweaks with Holgorsen, but largely the same thing. Let's see the offensive line take another leap. I think that's going to be really important.
And they have to. I mean, and if you want Dylan to take a leap, you've got to be able to protect him. So the offensive line has got to step up so he's not running for his life back there.
And I think, don't you like, for me, offensive line is so much about attitude and concept, right? You can have attitude, and maybe we've had attitude, and in Donnie Raiola's group, but it's got to mesh with the concepts that the OC has and the plays and the schemes. So I don't I think the attitude with Dana is going to be there, and now it's just a matter of like, okay, let's Donnie's guys, Dana's concepts have some attitude. Now let's see it work on the field, right? And then maybe you do get those, hey, we got a yard or two to get. Let's freaking go get it. So we'll see. I don't know. That's going to be an absolutely in very interesting storyline, TJ. Very. I'm glad
Thank
you
you.
brought up the offensive line. 'Cause you know
Thank you,
what? This
Matthew.
the whole thing, it's won and lost in the trenches, boys. It's a
Exactly
game of
right. Yep.
inches.
You're right.
Championships
Are won and lost in the trenches.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Matty, what is your second storyline for Nebraska football?
Well,
I didn't mean I interrupted your. You can take that sip of
no, no,
coffee. Go
no, no,
ahead.
no, no,
Go
no, no,
ahead.
no.
Okay.
It can wait. It can wait. We're sticking over here The Owens basement. We're sticking with defense.
Okay.
Okay, won and lost in the trenches. Defense, you know, defense wins championships. Trench play wins
Does.
championships.
It does.
Can the defense as a whole avoid a fall off?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
Crucial.
Okay, we talked about the
Crucial.
D line. You know, I think the chess pieces are there for the defense. There, you know, it's interesting this the way our roster is kind of the DBs. It's kind of similar to the O line. A lot of older guys, maybe a little injury history, but a lot of experience. Okay, so you've got those guys. They know. We know they know what they're doing. We know that they know that we know. And there's a lot of older, experienced guys and a lot of younger guys that maybe got a little bit of playing time, or we know they're like, you know, really good athletes, like that Jeremiah Charles kid who's been in the football team dunk contest a couple of years in a row. Like, we know that there's speed and athleticism and talent. Now we have to see what that looks like, right? Then we know that the older guys can do, we know they're going to be solid, right? We know we'll at least have that. So that's why with the D line, we've got some guys that got some experience, and the portal guys help. The DBs might be our most experienced group on that side of the ball. Got to get some linebackers, but Shavers looks like he's going to be a stud. If he can get a little bit better, he'll be outstanding. McGahee, take a step up. Javon Wright, I think, is back. What else do we got there? Is Deason McCullough going to be a rover? Is he going to be a linebacker? We've got Christian Jones, the in-state guy, Pierce Mewberry, the in-state guy, and then
Dawson
Dawson
Merritt.
Merritt, who is going to go to Alabama. I mean, so we've
Mar and
got
then
the.
the other transfer, Marcus Watson Trent from Georgia Southern. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. So I think we've got the pieces. It's going to be interesting to see if it's any different from Tony White's defense with Coach Butler. You know, I think they can. Hopefully that offense takes the next step so it frees up Butler in the D to be more aggressive. You know, because I think a lot of times it was kind of like, you know, last year it's like let's just keep everything in front of us. You know, and it didn't seem like we took a lot of chances with, you know, a little more risky blitzes or taking chances in coverage, trying to jump a route and get a pick. I would like to see a little bit more of that. I want to see our DBs going for the ball and trying to take the ball away. I want to see more turnovers. So that would be nice. You know, I don't think we'll take a step back. I think the scheme will be pretty solid. And I don't think it'll change too much. It'll be interesting to see what's different with Butler, but I'm with, I think it was it Gary Sharp that, or one of, I can't remember, was it Sharp or Sevier? One of the guys said Matt Rhule will always have a good defense. And so
Severe,
I'm kind of thinking like, I think that's how it's going to be. He's always had tough teams, right? I think we're always going to be tough and play good enough defense to win ball games.
He
So,
seems confident in that, and I mean that's the big, I think, Tony White showed up, and that's what flipped right away was the defense, right? Top 20, two back-to-back top 25 defenses. So with White leaving and with so much, churn on the roster, I think that's why Husker Nation is a little bit holding their breath about the D. But to your point, and the other point Sharp and Severe made was they may, maybe the numbers won't be quite as good in some areas, but they thought they've gotten more athletic and explosive with the transfer portal additions with some of the young guys they have. So maybe what does that mean? Maybe a little better on third down, maybe get into the quarterback more, maybe more takeaways. So excited to see it play out under new coordinator John Butler.
I don't think it's too much of an ask either. Just not, I don't want to see any regression. Can we at least just stay at minimum? Can we just stay where we're at,
Yeah,
talent
keep
wise?
it about the same.
It's just nice to, man alive, guys, for how many years, I think under, especially under Riley and Frost, just defense went on the field and you just felt like you didn't have a lot of hope. And it's nice to like have hope bordering on expectation that the defense will make stops and get
It's
off the
weird.
field.
It's a weird feeling, TJ. It's a
It
very
really
strange
is.
feeling.
Yeah.
How do we
Instead
handle
of
this?
please God, let's get a stop. It's like, okay, we'll get a stop here and get the
We'll get a
ball
stop
back.
here.
Then we just got to go down and score, you know.
All right, GF, what's your second storyline?
Well, like I don't know, you got used to hearing names like Nair and Banks last year, and those are kind of two of our star receivers, but we've got a lot more names, a lot more people to work with this year. So I'm really curious to see how these new wide receivers are going to kind of take on their workload this year. I was going to TJ told me to Google a few names last night. So I Googled a few names of wide receivers to kind of keep an eye on.
You're a Nebraska football podcast co-host. You know the names. You know the names.
Very deep on the depth chart too, Mike.
Don't ever suggest otherwise. Mm-hmm.
But when I was looking last night, like obviously Carter Nelson with him being a Nebraska guy, that's one that we're all going to be keeping our eye on. And then I remember the reason I thought of this one was I think it was Brian Christopherson said something about keep your eye on Cortez Mills. I can't remember why or what he was saying there, but there's just a lot of talent that we have to work with here. Dane Key was another one we've talked about before in the past. And I don't know how to say this guy's name. I apologize. Is it Nziah? Is that how you say it, Hunter?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So I don't know. I just like last year, I just remember always like screaming out like Isaiah Nayer's name or Banks's name. When it came to he's open or make the pass or whatever, I just feel like I've got a few more people to keep an eye on this year. I want to get your guys' thoughts on who, in your opinion, do you think is going to be a standout here, or do you think are there going to be any huge standouts this year? Or we should we be worried since we've had to replace some of these wide receivers from last year?
I honestly think with Dana, we could be looking at a guy potentially breaking the single season yardage record, because it's not that unthinkable. Because it's Nebraska, right? I think Stanley Morgan is just barely over like 1,000 yards, maybe. Yeah. Right. So,
Trey Palmer break that?
Did Trey? I think
you keep talking. I'll look it up. You keep talking.
I think you're right. Anyway, but it's not. If he did, he didn't break it by a lot. I remember him going into like the Iowa game, and he did have a huge game, so he might have broken it. But it's like 1,100 yards maybe. At a lot of these other schools, like that's like a normal season for their top receiver, right? Mm-hmm. And I know with Dana especially, he's always got at least one guy that's going to catch a ton of balls and get a ton of yards. I think it was Tank Dell at Houston. When Dana was there and Dykel Shorts was receiver, he had like something like 1,300-1,400 yards. I think we could see at least have a guy around 1,000, maybe another guy approaching that number. So there are a lot of names, Jeff, a lot of bodies in the receiver room. So there's a lot of mouth to feed too, but I think you'll see two or three guys kind of separate from the pack. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was Dan Key, Ja'Cory Barney, and maybe Mills or Gilmore, the other Kentucky transfer. There's a lot of excitement for me about that receiver room.
Yep. It was Trey Palmer in 2022, and it was 1,043. So to your point, Matty, just over 1,000. So yeah. For whatever, I mean, it's because we ran the option for so long.
Right.
So it'd be like somebody trying to break Nebraska single season rushing record. That's where, you know, we were so good for so long. But on the receiving side, we've got two guys who've gone over 1,000 in a season in their career.
I think the record was, I think Johnny Rogers held it for like close to 50 years, and it was like 972 or something like that.
Friend of the program.
That's exactly right. Well, yeah, and BC talked about Hardly Gilmore from Kentucky, who's kind of the you know, Dane Key gets talked about a lot. Gilmore's younger. He has 3 years left. But what BC pointed out to us was the reaction from the Kentucky folks. Like, they were really bummed to lose him. And he's only 18 years old, and he's got a ton of speed. Can he take the top off the defense? So that'll be interesting to watch. I just wrote about him as one of the sleepers in the transfer portal. But the other thing that Brian mentioned, which I think we've all can relate to and have lived through, is every year we think they have about 8 guys. And we're like, how are they going to get the ball to all these guys? And then by October or November, it's like there's Alex one or
Bullock's,
two guys.
Starting.
You hear about half of those names.
Yeah. And you can't have, if Billy Kemp rolls an ankle, you're like, oh no, who else are they going to throw to, kind of thing.
Yeah. Here comes Ross Pilkington.
Yeah, right. That's right. So hopefully, again, with Holgorsen and the new look offense and some of the transfer portal guys, hopefully they've got a lot of different options to get the ball to. Great job, Jeff. Great job.
Thanks. I did my homework. I know what I'm doing. You give me a sign, I'm going to do it, damn it.
There's also new tight end Heinrich Harper, new full-time tight end Heinrich
Harper. Yeah, damn right there is.
So that's pretty exciting. Yeah, phenomenal athlete.
We could do like a tight end reverse with him. Like Oklahoma used to run the tight end reverse with Keith Jackson.
Well, you know what you could do off of that too? You do the tight end reverse and you bust it a couple times. Then he's a quarterback. So then you hand it to him. He takes a couple steps in and drops back.
You're still on that, aren't you? Heinrich, give Heinrich Harburg a series. Are you still on that? Are you
still no, not that. Not that. I'm just saying a little trick play. Or maybe like where he lines up as like an H-back and then steps back and takes
takes a
backward throw and then throws it or something.
Okay.
There's all kinds of options. You know Dana's sitting in a diner somewhere outside of Lincoln right now, drinking Red Bull and drawing stuff up for Heinrich Harburg.
Listening to the podcast right now, drawing that
on the
up.
Back of a napkin. Yeah. Exactly. All right. My second one kind of goes along and complements yours, Matty O, with the overall the defense as a whole. I'm just really fascinated by the Phil Snow dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, although you got the new GM, Pat Stewart, too. So that's really interesting, too. But I'll zero in on Phil Snow in particular. So he's like assistant head coach or associate head coach or, you know, whatever. I think Rule said he talked to him about being defensive coordinator when he first got the Nebraska job. And Snow felt like at his age and his place in his career, he didn't have the energy to go out and recruit and all that sort of thing. Well, now that all the rules have been lifted and you're not limited to a certain number of assistants. When you were limited to a certain number of assistants, you had to maximize all of them and they all had to go out and recruit, right? Now you can have as many assistants as you want. Phil Snow wants to be a hang around Lincoln and think big thoughts and not go on the road recruiting. He can do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm really fascinated. You've got a new defensive coordinator in John Butler. Snow has made it clear. John's the coordinator. We're all working for him, but Phil Snow has been a long time Matt Rule whisperer, a long time coordinator himself, and he's been coaching for 40 years or whatever it is. So how does that dynamic play out? I mean, we've all had probably, you know, situations at work where it's like, who does this guy report to, or whose boss is this? Or do I report to this guy? Or like, how's that? So I hope they're all professionals. I'm sure they'll figure it out, but you know, that's a dynamic they'll have to figure out. But then on the positive side too, does Phil Snow, you know, he talked in his press conference recently, they're going to do some things to try to get better on third down, that, you know, they're going to try to take the ball away more. So can John Butler and Phil Snow together kind of take the foundation that Tony White laid and build on it and improve on the things where they were sort of lacking the last couple of years? So it's a fascinating dynamic. Back to the defense, of course, I think we're all, you know, anxious and hoping that they can continue to be really good. Can Phil Snow make it better? You know, that'll be, yeah, I think, really interesting.
I like how you said, who do I report to? Do I report to you? It's like office space. Like, I've got five different bosses. So if I screw up, I've got five different people coming around to tell me about it.
What would you say you do here? Okay, Matty, we're on to the third one already. Oh, third storyline. Go to the spring ball.
Storyline
really
three.
Really, for the common fans, it's the seventh. We're just feeding you.
Yeah.
We're just feeding the addiction.
Yeah, right, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Welcome, common fan.
The Eckler effect, guys.
Yes.
The Eckler effect.
I like that. I like that terminology.
We have talked about this in regards to the offense. We have talked about this the last couple of years in regards to, well, last several years in regards to special teams. If we've said, if we can just be average, well, we would have won X amount more of games, right?
Probably at least two more games in 2024, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think Mike Eckler will even settle for average. If you listen to the guy talk for 5 minutes, you kind of want to run through a brick wall. I know that's cliche and everybody says that, but it's for him, to me, it's true. I think that's going to be a huge storyline, a huge factor this season. I mean, every time we line up for a punt, a kickoff, whatever it might be, it's going to be, okay, let's see what's changed, right? The guy has done an outstanding job, and we've talked about his energy. I think that's going to be infectious, not just for the special teams, but for the entire football team. I don't think it can be overstated how important I think that this hire is going to end up being. Just think, like, if we look at last year, we thought, okay, we probably had two more wins. You probably could have had another win or two the year before that. Like, this is going to be huge. Right. So if we get the improvements we're hoping for from Dylan in the offense, the defense stays about the same, and we get above average special teams play, guys, we're looking at TJ, like TJ always says, playing meaningful football in November. I'm not saying CFP.
We're going to the playoffs.
For sure.
We're talking CFP if the special teams is above average. I mean, how we're in a great spot, guys. If we're talking about just the special teams being slightly above average, I mean, think about it. We're in a really good spot.
I just I've I don't know. I just I since I don't get to hear other fan bases talk about their different positions in football, I think it's we're talking about our special teams like it's our offense or something like that. Like we're really excited about this. Like whenever when you sit down and talk about football at the office with your buddies or your coworkers, you talk about how the offense and defense goes. I feel like on this show we spend a lot of time talking about special teams. I think that's pretty damn cool. I think that's pretty damn cool. They don't
It's
get the credit
because,
they
okay, Steve Ballmer.
deserve.
I like that, Jeff. Well,
Pretty
it's because
cool. Pretty damn cool.
one, because Husker football fans are so knowledgeable, and two, it's because special teams has been so glaringly bad, we've had to talk
Exactly.
about
Yeah.
it.
Yep. It's just they haven't been able to just kind of fly under the radar. They've really been
Yeah.
out there recently.
Special teams has been bad when it's a frequent topic on Husker fan podcasts, right? Like,
Yeah, right. Right.
when you know the long snapper's name, it's not good.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
That's right.
exactly. Yep.
I don't
All
know
right,
the guy's.
Jeff.
I don't know the new guy's name, by the way.
Kevin Gallick.
Of course, you
There
know,
we
TJ.
go.
Who's
Here
his
we go,
backup
Kev.
from
Big
New
year for you,
Hampshire?
Kev. Sack up, buddy.
This
Yeah.
is on you, Kevin. BC brought him up when we talked about sleepers in the transfer portal, and his point was we shouldn't know this guy's name. We
Yeah.
hopefully we never talk about him, but the fact is we lost games. If you really want to drill down beyond, more specific than special teams, we lost games because of bad snaps, right?
Yeah,
And special
because of
teams.
special teams.
And so, like, hopefully this guy just does his job and we never talk about him. And that alone improves special teams,
Yeah.
right? By a significant margin.
Be a robot. Be a snapping robot, Kevin.
Geoff, what's
If
yours?
he doesn't work out, you can step in there, Matty. Maybe you can,
Oh
TJ. You
God,
got
no.
years of
No,
eligibility
I
left, either
can't.
you fellas.
I do have eligibility left, yes.
You get your ass out there.
I think about it. I dream about it every
Get
day.
in the backyard today after the podcast. You get out there. Hey, coach.
Well, long snapping, when they teach you long snapping, they teach you to like you're throwing it almost. So, I'm a
Yeah.
baseball player. I can do that.
There you
I
go.
picture
Yeah.
you in like that Hutch youth Husker football uniform running out of the tunnel with a jean with a too small of a helmet.
Yeah.
Woo!
I'm 42.
I'll be 43 by the time the season starts.
Yeah,
All right, Jeff, me
oh, dear
too.
Lord. Dear Lord. Running backs. We haven't talked about any of them yet.
Yes.
Sorry, my chat is getting in the way here. Get the hell out of here.
Stupid cat. Get
Well,
out of
last
here,
season,
socks.
this is an Emmett Brown house, as the common fans know. We really are Emmett Johnson, Emmett Brown.
Emmett Brown as well.
Back to Dr.
the
Emmett Brown? Doc Brown?
That's
Run for
really
it, Marty.
sorry, the cat's distracting. Run for the Libyans. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Morning Back to the Future reference. Holy cow.
Emmett
Dr. Emmett L.
Johnson.
Brown.
You didn't think we'd talk about plutonium on this pod.
I'm gonna start calling him Emmett Brown the rest of the season.
Oh my
Emmett.
gosh.
And if he breaks a
Anyways.
long run, you get into 1.21
Oh my God. He split time last year with a few other running backs, and Dante Dowdell, we were high on him last year, and he did a good job, but as time went on, Gabe Irvin got in there and got his snaps. But Emmett Johnson slowly kind of for us, I think, kind of busted out as like our premier go-to running back, and we're happy he's back. I love seeing the camaraderie that him and Dylan have on social media. It seems like those dudes are boys and they've got a pretty good bond going on. And
Yeah,
by the
they're
way,
everywhere together.
I don't have a problem with them doing their TikToks and stuff like that. So any of you common fans that got a problem with that, just deal with it. All right. They're buddies, they're
They're
gelling.
kids.
We
They're
like to see
kids.
these people. Exactly. We like to see these guys enjoying themselves and being friends because that's going to help and produce on the field too. But I would like to see, I'm curious to see who else is going to step up because obviously he can't handle that workload on his own. Who else is going to shine? And I mentioned this dude's name last season was Quentin Ives. I talked about him last season. I'd like to see him step his game up and maybe split time with God, and split time with Emmett Brown. So what
Johnson.
Do you guys think?
Johnson, yeah.
I'm saying
I think
Emmett Brown on purpose now.
Okay, now we're doing it on purpose. I think the staff's pretty high on Ives. Didn't he have a touchdown in the bowl game? I think he did, right?
Yeah, he did.
And I think you're right though. I want to say, by the way, I love it that Emmett and Dylan, they go to all, like Husker women's
games.
Basketball games.
Yeah.
They
all
even went
of
to a bunch
things.
Of high school.
They went to high school state
games.
Tournament games, right? Yep. They're taking pictures with fans. Like, this is what
pretty
you
awesome.
Want from your leaders and your players, right? I mean, talk about the thrill of a lifetime. You go to a high school, you know, class C1 state tournament game and you get your picture with Dylan Raiola. I mean, kids will remember that the rest of their lives, right? So that's pretty cool that those guys are getting out and about in the community and supporting local teams and all that sort of thing. I love seeing that. But we've talked about it since before last season. I'm so high on Emmett Johnson, and I think he's going to be the best back at least since Amir Abdullah. We'll see how the season plays out. He can do it all. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's the shiftiest, fastest, all of the above. But for him to last 12 games in a Big Ten slog, you've got to have other help emerge. And so, I mean, do they find somebody? You know, there's still time to find somebody in that transfer portal. Kind of curious if they try to do that, or you need some of these other guys on the roster to step up.
Yeah.
There's a true freshman coming in too that I think I've heard some things about. Parker, I can't remember his first name. Jamarian, something like that. So yeah, it'll be interesting. But to me, the fact that they
and then Connor Booth from Wahoo. Sorry,
that's right.
Yeah,
the fact that they didn't more aggressively try to get a portal running back says a lot to me that they're ready to go full speed ahead with Emmett. And feature him, for lack of a better term, as like the main guy, but
which is not something we've seen in a long time. I feel like it's been running back by committee for years now, across multiple staffs.
And I think to the detriment of the offense. I mean, like maybe you don't have that guy, but still, like, pick the best one and ride with him and go like. The running back to me is such like a rhythm thing. Like, you know, you see this a lot with good running teams. They'll feed their guy. Maybe he's getting two or three a pop, but they stick with it, right? It's not this like musical chairs at running back going in and out of the huddle. Oh, now there's a different running back in. Like, I get that. And your guy rips a long 30, 40-yard run. He's winded. Bring him out of the game. But and we had
running 88 miles per hour.
Yes. We haven't had a ton of those happen. But to me, it's like that the running back position. You got to like develop this rhythm and get things going and get the guy going. Get him into the game. Right. I think we'll see more of that with Dana. He really seemed to like having Emmett and be able to call plays for Emmett and get him more, you know, swing passes out of the backfield and things like that. That's one area I'd really want to see him, Jeff, since this is your question, your Emmett Brown. I would like to see more of that. More of designed screenplays for the running back. You know, there's so much of college football now has become so much of like flanker screen, bubble screen, flanker screen, bubble. I haven't seen that many good running back, halfback screens lately. You know,
when we saw them late in the year to Emmett Johnson. That's when we saw them after Dana Holgorsen showed up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Four if Emmett gets four or five catches a game, I think we're gonna be in good shape. Because I think we can get yards off it. And he's so good at reading his blocks. God, if you get him out on the edge with a lineman or two leading the way. I think it'd be good things.
I agree with, and TJ said too, like you said, reading his blocks, but he's shifty and he's fast. And we had that kind of dual running back situation last year where he had Dowdell as the guy that would just try and like plow through people. Mm-hmm. But Emmett was the guy that could try and run around people, juke them out of their shoes, break some ankles and stuff like that. So I'm really excited to see him step up this year. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be great.
I think it could be like a similar thing with like a thunder and lightning with Emmett. And Ibe seems more like a power, kind of more of a power running back.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens, guys.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, that leaves me with the third and final storyline. I had kind of a boring one, guys. I'm going to shift gears and do something else. And
Oh,
I don't know that
okay.
I don't know that this is a storyline specific to like spring practice, but it'll be something we're talking about all offseason. So I'm going to go with it. So friend of the program, Brandon Vogel, had a recent article in his fantastic counterread.com. Go to counterread.com. You should subscribe. It's a great way to feed the addiction. Only $7 a month. Anyway, love all the stuff that Brandon puts out, but his one of his recent articles was The Equation for Nebraska Football in 2025. And the subtitle is, first, we need to agree on a result that makes most people happy. Then how do the Huskers get there? So he kind of talks about how Rule was asked about, you know, Nebraska always wins the offseason national championship. Why will this offseason be different, or why will the coming season be different? And Rule kind of deflected. He basically said, I don't have an answer for that. And he said, we've always kind of built toward year three, you know. Of course, he smartly didn't make any predictions or anything like that. But here's what Vogel says later in the article. He says, so what are the bets being made for 2025? I think it's delightfully simple this season, but first we need to agree on the season that would make the majority of Husker fans happy. Vogel says, I think that's 9-3 in the regular season. Hey, only the most combative could argue with that. At 9-3 after 12 games, Nebraska would be in the playoff discussion late in the year and better than last season. It would be 1.5 wins better than the early win totals set by the odds makers. In short, it would be overachieving based on measures that aspire to be predictive, but also consider Nebraska's recent past. The other thing he said, get to 9-3, and I don't think most fans are unhappy unless 9-3 feels like it should have been 11-1, which would of course be the most Nebraska thing ever if we have a couple losses that we sort of hand away. But anyway,
totally would be.
Yeah, the Huskers at 9-3 would be better than before, the best they've been since 2016, with the reason to transfer increased hope to the season to follow. I think for me, it's the storyline of what, like, we talk about the year three leap all the time, but we've never really agreed on what that is.
What's the number?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the number?
Right. Right. And yeah, we're going to be good.
I think 7-5
good.
I think 7-5 is a disappointment for Husker fans.
Yeah,
that is not a
leap. It would be.
Right? I think you're 100% correct, TJ. That is, yeah. that is unacceptable. You have to. I agree. And I think the reason I was kind of boasting there is I think I predicted 9-3 in our way too early schedule.
I think you did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree. I mean, there, you have to at least, you don't have to be in the playoff, but you need to at least like bring in the conversation, at least be talked about it. Maybe even just be like, watch out for Nebraska.
Yeah.
I want media pundits to at least say like, don't count these guys out. We need to at least be on their radar in one way or the other. That's a good question. Like I would, because we get it. Husker fans do get a little irrational. Like, if
once we start 3-0, everybody's like, exactly. Oh, we're going to the playoff.
What,
here we go.
What if we got to like 6 or 7 wins right out the gate? You know what I mean? Like, would 9-3 be unacceptable to us? You know what I mean? Like, that really, probably. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily have the answer to that, but I'm always curious about, because we did it last year. We did it last year. Where we were like, we need to make a bowl game. But then since we started off so hot, I feel like people's expectations got so freaking high that bowl game wasn't necessarily as good anymore. That wasn't our floor anymore. We need to be higher than that. So I think I agree. 9-3 is good, but that's a good damn question. I guess that might be one where it's just going to be, we'll figure it out when the season gets here type of thing.
Yeah. I think that's a great, I mean, great job. B Vogues.
As he always does. Counterread.com.
I think we'd all be pretty damn happy with 9-3.
Yeah. Static.
But it is. It depends on what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, to your point, Jeff, like if we're nine and one and we lose the last two, we're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah,
we are.
If we blow a 10-0 halftime lead, if we're 9-2 and we blow a 10-0 halftime lead and basically hand the game away to Iowa, that will be disappointing.
Yeah.
That will be disappointing. Yeah. You know, something
I'll
like that.
I feel sick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's all about, it's like the perspective. When you get into the season, you see what you've got, and are we about where we should be? Are we underachieving? Are we overachieving? Like, we're Nebraska fans are smart enough to like see the product on the field and know what should be happening, right?
Yep.
We can see when we're overmatched by an Ohio State or somebody like that, and we're just hanging in there. We're just being plucky, and we can tell when we're supposed to beat somebody. It only takes a couple of series for each team to be like, okay, we should win this game, So I don't know. I think 7-5 is a disappointment. 8-4, I think we're kind of sitting here like, eh,
I
all
think that I think
right.
eight and
It's
four is the
better.
eight and four is the like minimum
8-4 is
that
the
would be
baseline to
like
me.
it's the baseline, the minimum that Husker fans would be like, okay, it's better again. I was hoping for more. I think
It's not
anything
really.
above eight and four, and you're in the playoff conversation, you're going to a really good bowl game, you feel like you have a ton of momentum going into Dylan's third year, like all the things, right? I feel like get unlocked at 9-3 or better. Eight and
I
four, you're
agree.
kind of like,
It's not necessarily a leap. It's like
Are we going
a
to be in
step.
purgatory forever? You know, like, is that
Eight and
it?
four feels like we could still be heading trending in the right direction, but you're just kind of hoping for a little bit more.
Leap just sounds
At eight and four also, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
leap just sounds bigger. You know what I mean? Like 8-4 doesn't sound like a leap to me. That just
From
sounds,
7-6.
we stepped forward. You know what I mean? That's not a leap.
It's baby steps.
And I like eight and four, and then you look at like the schedule gets significantly harder in 2026 also. So I think 9-3, 10-2, you say the program has gotten to a new level and we're ready to take on that difficult schedule. 7-5, 8-4, you're kind of like, oh, and now next year we got this gauntlet, so we're going to be 7-5 again or something. So it's interesting. I do think Husker fans are, we joke about how delusional we are, and we are sometimes. But a lot of Husker fans I see on social
All the
media, I
time.
think, are sort of like, it's going to be around 500 until it's not. Like, I think it's almost like a defense mechanism. I've been to the well of hope so many times, only to have it dashed. I can't do it emotionally, again and again. So I think some Husker fans are like that, and then some Husker fans are like me, where by, June of every year, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, I don't see why we can't win all of these games. You know, and so it's just kind of, all over the map. So, well, that's a fantastic episode, gentlemen. That's nine storylines to keep an eye on for Nebraska football
Enough
as
for you
they
to chew
head
on,
into
common
spring
fans?
football. Plenty to chew on.
I got a 10th storyline. As TJ was being a smart guy yesterday, he always gives me a hard time about playing video games in my 40s. I want to get some feedback from the common fans that listen. How many of you still play video games? If you're listening to this on YouTube, put it in the comments, email us, do whatever you got to do,
commonfangbr@gmail.com.
tweet at us. I'm curious. I want to know who still
Now
plays video games.
let's be even more specific about that. How many of you play video games by yourself and not with your child?
And I get it. And you can take the take. The, I'll even accept the college football video game too, by the way, since this is a common. A lot of people will try. Owen, you play the common. You play the
I played a
college
little
football
bit.
game.
Yeah,
So
played a
yeah.
little
So
bit.
there you go. Without your kids.
I did.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right.
I'm not
All
sitting here
right.
playing freaking Zelda, Jeff.
I love Zelda, by the way. Don't watch your
Jeff's
mouth.
playing
Watch
Zelda
your
at
mouth.
midnight on a Tuesday.
Watch your mouth. I played it last night. Played it last night. We got the Master Sword from the great Deku tree. We're pretty excited
Please
about that
stop
right now.
talking. God,
Yeah.
stop talking. Oh my God.
So let me know, common fans. I'm very curious.
It is a curious question because it's not a spring football storyline. So if you're, all the common fans have tuned out now, but because our generation grew up with video, like we all like every, I think we got our first Nintendo, the original Nintendo when we were six, right? Or something like that. So like our generation grew up with, I never had the video game gene. Like my college roommates would play and I would sit there and watch for the social aspect, but I would be like, why are you getting mad at each other? But it's a video game. Like, what's going on? What's going on here?
Good times.
So I was never good at video games. I don't have that gene, whatever. But it's obvious, it's a thing with our generation. I know people play well into adulthood, but we always make fun of Jeff about it and how he's probably like shit talking 13-year-olds from,
On the headset.
Dubuque,
They
on
started
the
it, okay? They started
headset. So, all right. Yeah, would love to hear from the common fans on that. If you want to comment on any of the nine storylines that we mentioned about Nebraska spring football,
No,
we'd
we
love
don't
to
care
hear
about that
from you on
anymore.
that
Talk about the
too,
video games.
or Back to the Future fandom, or anything along
There you
those
go.
lines.
Yes, it's
Anything
open to
along those
all.
lines. Awesome. Well, we have some awesome guests lined up or in the works at least for spring ball. And so we'll be right here to take you along the journey of spring ball. And Jeff looks like he has something else to
I
say.
do.
I'm trying to wrap up here,
A
but Jeff's
serious,
got
a
something else to say
serious,
again.
very serious note. Owens, we kind of forgot
Oh.
to mention it at the beginning. I'm gonna leave it to Matty O. We got. Do you want to give our buddy a shout out?
Yeah. Let's see if I can get through this. We had talked on pods before about a friend of ours that was dealing with some health things. Our buddy Jamie McCarville, who was like a big brother to me, passed away earlier this week. Fought really hard, and cancer got another good one, guys. Like a big brother to me, guy always put a smile on my face. He always made you feel like you were important. Relating it to Husker football, this guy I'd been to many tailgates with, many Husker games with. My favorite memory I'll just share real quick with Jamie. We attended the 2010 Nebraska Missouri game together, just he and I. Tailgated with other friends, but then we just had two tickets together, and it was the game where, Missouri was coming in with tons of hype. They had just the week prior beaten number one Oklahoma and Columbia. And so Missouri's coming in with Blaine Gabbert and TJ Moe and all those guys. And Nebraska just right out the gate just stomped them, right? It was the game where Roy Helu broke the single game rushing yardage record. And as Roy was running off the field, he's running right towards us. We were sitting in the North Stadium. And so running towards back then, the tunnel, team tunnel was right there in the north. What would that be? Northwest corner. So Roy's coming off the field and the crowd's chanting his name, "Hey Lou, Hey Lou." And I look over at Jamie and he's got tears. He's got tears streaming down his cheeks because he's just so happy and it's such a great Husker moment. And I'll never forget it with my friend. Just maybe my favorite Husker game I've ever attended. It was with James Theodore McCarville. Gone way too soon, and gonna miss him like crazy.
We love you, Jamie, and we miss you, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the McCarville family and all of their close relatives and friends and loved ones. So we love and miss you, Jamie.
Yeah, the McCarvilles are known by probably a lot, tons of people around Lincoln. A wonderful family, just fun, funny, warm. I mean, I think about Jamie coached me in baseball in high school, and I think when I think about him, I think about him smiling, right? And he always lifted everybody up around him, always had something positive to say, always could make you laugh, always supportive. And I played, Andy was a year older than us in school, and so I played baseball with Andy, but just such good memories of those days. And just again, a wonderful, wonderful family. I was I'm not gonna drop any F-bombs. Forget cancer. As you say, Matty O, just absolutely, totally not fair. It's not fair. And our thoughts and our prayers are pouring out and lifting up the entire McCarville
Yeah,
family,
and Jamie's
and we
wife
love you guys.
Nikki, just a unbelievable, great gal, and their three daughters, Maggie, Lily. I'm saying them out of order. Maggie, Lily, and Avery, and just an unbelievable sports family, the McCarvilles. So, big
No
time
doubt.
Baltimore Orioles fans and Indianapolis Colts. Their parents and uncles and aunts live, my understanding is they lived in Baltimore way long ago, and they moved away and stayed Orioles fans and Colts fans, even though the Colts moved to Indy. So I don't frequently root for other teams other than the St. Louis Cardinals during Major League Baseball season, but I'm going to be a pretty big O's fan this year. So
Love
love
for
it.
sure.
And Andy, I can't forget Andy and Matt,
Yeah, his
McCarville
brothers.
brothers. Andy's, I like to tell people I don't have one best friend. I've got a ton, but if there was somebody that was maybe just a little bit ahead of everybody, Andy would probably be that guy, the best man at my wedding. I wouldn't know Jamie without Andy, or Matt for that matter. So, Andy, love you too, buddy. And all the best in the
All you
Carvels.
guys.
You
Yeah.
guys are the
Love
best.
all the McCarvels and Common fans. If you're the praying type, spare a thought and a prayer for the McCarville family right now,
Yes, please.
because it's been they're going through it. So, and they were it was pretty cool. Like they've always been from day one supporters of the pod too.
Yeah.
We'd get pictures from tailgates, and I remember Andy sending a pic of I think you might have been tailgating with them, Matty O, but Andy sent in a pic or posted on Twitter or something saying we are the definition of common fans. And so just love that connection as well. So on that note, this episode goes out to James T. McCarville, and we're thinking about you, praying for you, buddy, and we love the whole family. Until next time, common fans, GBR for life.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.